on the Shabbat just before Thanksgiving. Thursday is Thanksgiving. Who knew it would come so quickly? And I know that for the most part, it's a secular holiday, but its roots have a Judeo-Christian background. Now, according to Wikipedia, the event that Americans commonly call the first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the pilgrims after their first harvest in the New World in October 1621. The feast lasted 3 days and was attended by 90 Wampanoag Native Americans and 53 pilgrims who were survivors from the Mayflower. So there were many more Indians than Native Americans than there were pilgrims. Now, Wikipedia also told me that Thanksgiving has been celebrated nationally on and off since 1789. There was a proclamation by President Washington after a request was made by Congress that started it. After that, President Jefferson chose not to observe the holiday, actually. And its celebration was on and off until President Lincoln in 1863 proclaimed the national day of quote, thanksgiving and praise to our benefit Father who dwelleth in the heavens. He was calling on American people to also, quote, with humble penitence for our national preservedness and disobedience, perverseness, I had to look at that word a couple of times, perverseness and disobedience, fervently implore the imposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation, unquote. Now, I butchered up the quote, but that's the important part was he was calling for humble penitence for national perverseness and disobedience. Lincoln declared the holiday to be the last Thursday of each November. Now, on June 28, 1870, President Grant signed into law the Holiday Act that made Thanksgiving an annual federal holiday in Washington, D.C. And on January 6, 1885, an act of Congress made Thanksgiving and some other federal holidays a paid holiday for all federal workers in the United States. And most of us, except for retail, unfortunately, get the day off. I would say that even though it started by the pilgrims who may have had Adonai in mind, but I doubt the Wampanoag people thought the same way. And even though President Lincoln may have been calling on the nation to pray during the day for a perverse and disobedient people, the meaning has wandered from Adonai to turkeys, pies, parades, and football. That's what people think of as Thanksgiving. So although not a biblical holiday, it was based on biblical truths at one time. And I'd like to speak today to at least get our mind back towards that direction. Perhaps some of you already have family traditions that point your family back to Adonai during Thanksgiving, and that's great. But let's take some time this morning to move the focus back for the rest of us. Now, we can see that Scripture encourages us not just to praise Adonai, but to thank Him for everything as well. Even when there were times in our lives that it appeared that Adonai is not directing the acts around us, He is. And we need to thank Him for that. Excuse me. Today's Torah portion is about Abraham. Even as it's the only Torah portion that has the name of a woman in it. Now, I'm just going to go down a small rabbit hole just for a moment. Because I found it funny. When I did a search to remind myself of the portions that have the names of people, the Chabad site listed Torah portions named after people as Noah, Yitro, Korach, Pincus, and Balak. They leave out Sarah completely, which I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, that they were used, they were listing names of Torah portions that were single word names of people. And it's actually life of Sarah, Chai Sarah. So we'll give them that. But even if it doesn't fit, it's the only portion that has a woman's name in it. Now, as regards to Thanksgiving, I could understand if Abraham would have a hard time being thankful to Adonai after Sarah died. And it wasn't just because of her death that he would have a hard time. He was promised great things from Adonai. In last week's portion, we read the blessing that Abraham was promised. Genesis 22:17 said this: "I will richly bless you and bountifully multiply your seed in the like the stars of heaven and like the sand that is on the seashore, and your seed will possess the gate of the enemies." Abraham was promised land, and he was promised generations. At the start of this week's portion, at the time of Sarah's death, he owned no land, had to buy the place for him to bury Sarah. And it doesn't appear that he had any, you know, at that point, it didn't look like generations were coming from him. He only had one child the blessing was going to come through. The other child was estranged at that point. That would be Ishmael. Even before his death, he really barely saw the birth of Esau and Jacob, his only two grandchildren from Isaac that were told about at that time. Abraham could have easily thought, "Thanks for what? You told me I'm getting land. You told me I'm getting generations. Where is it all?" It appears Abraham had to buy the promised land. And not only that, but Isaac's wife was also coming at a great price. His servant had to go with all those camels to get his wife for him. What we need to keep in mind is that small things can be the hand of Adonai starting great things. And therefore, even if we only see small things, or even if we can't see anything at the moment, we are still to praise him and give thanks to him. Look what Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, tells us in the first letter of Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, starting there: "Rejoice always, pray constantly, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua." Did you hear what Shaul was saying? What he does not say is to rejoice and pray and give thanks when appropriate. He says, rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in everything. Everything is good, everything is bad, everything is everything. The most important words there are not rejoice, pray, and thanks. But the most important words are always, constantly, and everything. Because it's easy to rejoice and pray and give thanks when things are going good. Even when they're only going okay, it's easy to thank him for that. But those other words indicate that we are not to pick and choose when we do them, but to always, constantly, in everything do them. Always means regardless of what's happening in our lives. Constantly means that if bad things appear, don't stop thanking him. Don't stop praising him. And in everything, again, it says that you're to be thankful even when, just like for Abraham, there doesn't seem to be land and there doesn't seem to be children, especially not like sand on the beach. that did not stop him from being thankful. And neither should it stop us from being thankful. Even when we don't see it. Even if we don't know what the promise is, we're still to be thankful to him. Yes, the truth is, we thank him for what we have, some of which we see and recognize, but even more important, we should thank him for what we cannot see yet. Thank him for the promises for the things of this world that he will give us, but more importantly, the things of the world to come. Our time before the eternal throne, that promise is always worthy of being thanked. This is what I wanted to talk more about today. Our gratitude and thanks to him. There are the heart attitudes of gratitude, and there are the physical actions that show gratitude. So I have three heart attitudes that show gratitude and thanks towards him, and three actions that show gratitude and thanks to him. Some of them will overlap, but they are and always will be true. So, attitudes that thank Adonai. The first one is always remember. Always remember. Always remember him. And remember him above all else. Psalm 3, the first 7 verses say this. It's a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in the dry and weary land, where there is no water. So I look to you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Since your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I lift up my hands. My soul is satisfied as with fat and oil. So my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you through the night watches. When we're awake and searching for him, or when we're on the bed at night, we are to remember who he is and also who we are in him. There are always going to be good and bad times in our lives. Times when he's front and center and we can see him easily. At times when he's manipulating what's going on in the background, and maybe we don't quite recognize what's going on and why it's happening. Just as I spoke about a moment ago when reading 1 Thessalonians passage, he is always to be praised and thanked and always remembered as part of our lives. As believers and those who trust in Adonai and his salvation through Messiah Yeshua, there is no time that we can be separated from him. And therefore, no time that our thoughts can be removed from thinking on him. An eternal God who always is, was, and will be, deserves to be remembered in the past, present, and future of our lives and of all time. There will be times when we're busy, no doubt about it. In this world, we get busy. We get busy with what we need to accomplish. We get busy with all the activities that are going on. But he's always to be remembered. He's always to be front and centered. He's always to be remembered because he helps us with our obligations. He helps us with our jobs. He helps us with our family, even when we don't recognize it. Now, sometimes those obligations, sometimes the things of family, sometimes those things of the job may feel like they get pushed they push Adonai back a little bit. And I've had jobs where I've had to concentrate on what I'm doing right there in front of me. There's a lot of numbers that I used to look at. And I had to concentrate on those numbers. But that doesn't mean he wasn't in my mind in the background, at least. And always working for me. And I always had him not far from where I was. Whether we're in the sanctuary here or in the sanctuary that we carry around in our hearts or in our heads or in our beds, when we're about to pass out from exhaustion even, we are to have the attitude of gratitude and praise towards him. And thanks should be in our hearts and on our lips, always remembering not just what he has done, but who he is and what he's promised us that he's going to do. That's what we're going to, that's the attitude first. The next heart attitude is humility, which must go hand in hand with gratefulness. Because when we're humble before him, we are showing a gratitude towards him. How can we be grateful and haughty at the same time? It's impossible. We cannot be proud and prideful and truly be thankful at the same time, except maybe a false thanks, and mostly to ourselves. If you have a humble heart, then it allows you to be grateful. James 4:8, starting there, it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of Adonai, and he will lift you up." You know, when we have that humble attitude, you know, first of all, this is a tough passage because it says lament and mourn and weep. But that's not because Adonai is with us. That's because we recognize our sin in our lives. That's why we lament, mourn, and weep. But when we do that, when we come close to him, when we recognize who we are in him, when we're humble in Adonai's sight, then he can draw near to us. With that attitude of humility, he can be right here with us. Adonai can do anything, but will not lift you up with pride in your heart, as it excludes gratitude to him from being there at the same time. That's why Yeshua says in Luke 14, this about being humble and exalted at the same time. Luke 14:11, "For anyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Exalted, of course, is not exalted by the world, but by Adonai. When we're humble in attitude, then we give ourselves the opportunity to be affected by Adonai, to be exalted and lifted up from the ash heap into that place of honor, which is before him. Then we are able to become what he designed us to be. A true child of Adonai who is able to be in his presence. So the third attitude is pray always, even when you don't know why, even when you don't know how. Pray. That's your next heart attitude. Pray always. Even if you don't know what you're grateful for, pray. Thank him. Have that heart attitude. Look what King David said in Psalm 118. "You are my God, and I praise you. You are my God, I exalt you. Praise Adonai, for he is good, and his loving kindness endures forever." Even when you don't know what to pray for or what to be thankful for, these verses are good to call on. They say that he is God and that that's enough praising him. Just the fact that he is God is enough to be thankful that he is the one who's in charge and thankful that he is the God, the one and only. With the attitude of these verses, even when we don't feel like it in our emotions, then we remember that there's always a reason to be thankful towards him. Amen. Thankful for his loving kindness and that he is God. Thankful that he is the only God. Thankful that even during the times that we cannot see it with our physical or spiritual eyes due to the things of the world seemingly overtaking us, he is still God and he is still loving and his loving kindness endures forever. Allow these verses to mold your heart attitude so that there is always something to be thankful for. There will be times that it's harder than other times to be thankful, absolutely. But these verses are the very foundation of your attitude that will help you through them so that you can still lift up your voice, your prayers, and your eyes to the only true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These verses will not make your times easier. Sorry. They will not make your times easier. But they will make your times easier to get through. And this is not. And isn't this a reason to be thankful? Maybe you're not through on all those times yet. But he will get you through it. So praise him and thank him in advance. So these are this is just three attitudes of your heart. Remembering him and why, humility, and constant prayer. And they're not just attitudes, but they're actually ways of lifting up thanks to him. And now for the other three ways that we can show him our thanks. These next three ways are more physical in action than the other three previous attitudes were. So first of all, words in prayer to give him thanks. The words you speak, let them leave your lips. Let them be heard. If only heard by your own ears, let them be heard. Speak out words that tell them your gratitude and your thanks. Open your mouth. Say them verbally. Hebrews 13:15. Through Yeshua then, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips giving thanks to his name. Offer up a sacrifice of praise. For many of us, speaking thanks to Adonai is not really a sacrifice, but a joy, as it should be. But there are times that it will feel like a sacrifice. For those who find themselves in a funk, for those who find themselves in hard times or just tired, even when just the act of thinking and opening up your mouth and forcing breath through to make the sound of words hard, then it's a sacrifice. But that sacrifice is one that we are called upon to make. When we are oppressed by the word and being pushed down, then it's the time to make that sacrifice of praise. It says to offer up the fruit of your lips giving thanks. That means the words will have to leave your mouth past your lips. It doesn't matter who's around to hear them. Adonai is there. The Ruach is there. You may be alone in the room, or you may be in a congregational setting like today. Other people may be listening, or you could be talking to yourself and just the Ruach. And you could be talking to yourself even when you're in a crowd. You are called upon to open your mouth and allow the sacrifice of praise to pass your lips to give thanks. Again, it doesn't matter if you're thanking him for the big things or the small things. It only matters that you are. Thank Him for the breath that you breathe. Thank Him for food that you eat. Thank Him for salvation that's promised, for the protection of this world. Doesn't really matter what you thank Him for. Just thank Him. The big things like salvation, little things like breath. The big things like vacations, for family, for health, for safety, for getting the green light while you're in a hurry. They're all to be thanked. I know, you know what? There are those who say, what are you kidding me? God doesn't care about a green light. He is the God of everything. He is concerned about everything. He knows if you're in a hurry, and He'll help you. Ask Him. He is the God of big and small. So thank Him for the big and the small. Second, and it's very similar, offer Him a praise of thanks in song. It may seem like the same thing as the first point, but for whatever reason, Scripture seems to separate them and encourages us to thank and praise Him with both words and song. And that's what we try to do here at the beginning of the service, right? With our praise and worship music. And sometimes it's, you know, oh, I'm tired. I don't feel like it. Sometimes it's, I'm not crazy about that song. Lift up your voice anyway. Open your mouth. Sing a song to Him. Psalm 7:18. I will praise Adonai for His justice. I sing praise to the name of Adonai Elyon. And let me just clarify about quality of the sound that's coming out. Because it doesn't matter. Psalm 98, starting in verse 4, shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Break forth, sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to Adonai with a harp, for the harp and the voice of melody, with trumpets and sound of the shofar blast, a sound before the King, Adonai. Now there are two things I'll bring out to you today in these verses. The first is that we are told to sing for joy and sing praises. It doesn't say, sing beautifully. That's my saving grace. It doesn't say I have to sing beautifully. It just says I have to sing. It doesn't say to worry about how you sound to those around you. It doesn't even say that we all have to sing the same song at the same time. Now, during praise and worship, we sing in agreement. But there are times of open worship. That's the time to sing your own song. That's the time not to worry about what's the person next to me singing. Am I singing out of key? Am I singing at the, you know, the right tempo? Is my song appropriate? It's appropriate if it comes out of your mouth and you're praising Him. That's what makes it appropriate. It pleases, it brings joy to Adonai's heart to hear your song. Yes, it pleases Him to hear the songs that we're playing together, but it pleases Him to hear your song. Your personal song. So during those times that we're not all singing together, I encourage you, lift up your voice. Lift up your song. Maybe you're only repeating one word, and that's your whole song. Praise, 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 praise you, God. It brings great joy to His heart to hear your song. Don't hold back because you're afraid of what other people will think of your song. Do you really want to stand before Adonai and say that you disobeyed Him because you knew better? Yes, Adonai, you told me to sing a new song. But, you know, have you heard my voice? Yes, Adonai, you told me to sing, but I'm not a good singer. I can't do that. You really want to say, Adonai, I know better than you? He tells you to sing, you sing. Even if you feel like you have to apologize to the person who's in front of you because they have to listen to you. Sing. Sing off key. Sing words that, you know, no one else is singing. Adonai will never look for an apology because he loves the way you sound in his ear. So sing to Adonai and sing a new song to him. Come uninhibitedly to him next week when it comes to praise and worship, when it comes to home. Make believe you're in the shower all by yourself. But only in voice, please. Not in the way you dress. And finally, we are to do to him and for others, which will be an action of thanks for him. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter 4. Now, the end of all things is near, so be self-controlled and sober-minded in prayer. Above all, keep your love for one another constant, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the many-sided grace of God. Whoever speaks, let it be as one speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let it be the strength that God supplies. So in all things may God be glorified through Messiah Yeshua. All glory and power to him forever and ever. And everyone says, Amen. I had said earlier that speaking the words of Adonai in prayer was a way to express thanks to him. And similarly, doing for him is a way to express thanks to him. If it is doing for him or it's doing for someone else for their benefit, they're actions that praise and thank Adonai. Really, when we're doing for others, what we're really doing is doing for him. We do it not because we gain from it, not even because we like to do or the other person is lifted up by the actions. We should be doing because it is a way of thanking Adonai, of following his instructions, of giving glory to him. It's just another way of thanking him and giving him glory. Almost everyone could, if they tried, come up with something better to do, something selfish that would make you feel better when they're instead of doing something for the Lord. I could be resting. I could be enjoying myself. Maybe just a bit before the TV or, you know, I could be out for a walk even. But I could not be thinking, but I could not be thanking Adonai more than by doing for him. And since his actions are for the benefit of the world, so our actions should line up with his, not just for the benefit of the person, but to show our alignment with him and our thanks to him. That doesn't mean that every last thing that we do is only for others, but at least some of our actions should be for others through him, which show not just our appreciation for the other person, but even more so our appreciation to Adonai. So here we are, 6 ways to thank Adonai before Thanksgiving. So this Thanksgiving, be reminded who we are and why we give thanks to him. So much of the world may be giving a great big thanks to the air, but we give thanks to Adonai, Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And we are to remember that there is no right time or wrong time to praise and thank Adonai. All times are to give thanks and praise. He is worthy of constant praise and thanks because he is a God of constant love and provisions. Even during those times that we don't see it, feel it, that the love and provisions are really there, though. Maybe we don't know it, but they're actually always there. Even if we don't perceive it, they're always there. Even in our funk, they're always there. We may change our attitude, our feelings, our emotions. They may change. He never changes. So we show him our thanks with our hard attitudes of always remember of being humble and by praying always. And we show him our thanks by actions of our words and by our sacrifice in our song and by our works towards others. And these are not the only way that we show thanks and say thanks to him. But these are six ways that you know, if nothing else, these are six ways that we can do it. Six ways that maybe we need to make that conscious decision. This is what I'm going to do. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to sing to the Lord because he is worthy of my thanks and praise. I'm feeling like I'm in a funk, but I'm going to do for someone else. Not just to help them, not just to help myself, because it's what Adonai will feel my gratitude towards him through. Father, we thank you on this day, not just because it's the Shabbat before Thanksgiving, but because you are always to be thanked. You are always to be praised. So we come to you, remembering who you are and being humble before you in your sight. We lift our words to you in prayer and in praise, sometimes in sacrifice, sometimes out of joy, but always to the one true King and God, Lord, who never fails and is always the same. And we lift up our thanks to you through our actions towards others. We praise you and glorify you and lift you up. And all that we say, all that we do, Ruach, for those times that these things slip our minds, help us. Help us to remember. Help us to be humble. Help us to pray, even when we don't have the words to pray. Help us, maybe help us to remind ourselves to play some praise music. For these are great words sometimes to pray. These are great words to praise you with. Sometimes it'll be a sacrifice in our spirit. But you are worthy of that sacrifice. And help us when we are to help others. Help us to remember why we're helping others. As a sacrifice to you, as a praise offering to you, and as a thanks offering to you. Ruach HaKodesh, we lift you up, for you are worthy of all of this. We lift you up so that we will remember to thank you and praise you through all our times and lives. We just thank you now, today, here and now, because you're worthy of it all. And everyone said, Amen and Amen.